mindful of what seeds you sow. 'Cause you're gonna be the one that's gotta watch.
Hey, what's up? This is Jesse Wayne Taylor, and I'm hanging out with the one and only Donnie J on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. It's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Gosh, sitting down with my boy Jesse Taylor. Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm great.
The conversations we've had this morning. You played last night at Martin's Barbecue downtown.
I did.
And then from there, it went from Kevin asking, like, what kind of products you use in your beard.
Yes.
Well, it's an impressive beard.
It is. Like, it's very impressive.
It's an important thing to understand.
But this is...
It takes work.
Well, I know. It's a podcast. They can't see him. So, describe his beard, Kevin. I feel like you have an amazing...
Here's the thing. We need to focus on important things.
Right.
And now we're just going to make an entire episode about how great his beard is. So here we go. If you guys were wanting music, song, background, motivational things, you're not getting it.
Hey, you know what? We give it's great information, but hey, we have a good time at the same time.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Well, excited because, Jesse, we met obviously through mutual friends as well. We say there is a commonality, Kevin, with a lot of these great, talented, not just great and talented, but let's just say really good people through my man, Richard Casper.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I love Richard. I really got to know him on that trip we took up to Chicago that I was just talking about and just... I had respect for him before then, but I got a lot more respect for him now.
Yeah, if this is your first time listening, I will always plug Richard Casper. He is the co-founder of Creative Vets, which actually pairs PTSD combat veterans with amazing singer-songwriters in Nashville, Tennessee to help write their story. It's phenomenal. And you've done that, right?
Twice, yes.
Wrote absolutely. With veterans and, mm-hmm. I mean, just... If you can, tell me about like an experience. Was it anything that you thought it would be like?
It's extremely enlightening, first of all, because I personally have never gone through any of that. I'm not in the military. And so you get to put their goggles on. You get to put their glasses on.
Yeah.
And see what they've seen just for a few moments in time. And then the coolest part is getting to turn it into something that they can take with them, like the last guy we wrote with, he told us that we wrote the song basically for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He was just freaking out about it when he got home and got to play it for his wife.
Yeah. Because what you'll realize is that's the hardest thing they have trouble doing is communicating their story to their loved ones.
Right.
Right. And that's what you do through song is you're really transferring emotion. Right. In
exactly.
the form of a story. So like your loved ones can understand. And that is the release that helps them with their PTSD. And
absolutely.
So, man, Richard is just got a passion for it. It's his calling. And gosh, he's just making a huge difference, not just in the veterans' lives, but I think everybody around him.
Absolutely.
You know, that obviously that we are being affected and changed by trying to help as well.
Absolutely.
So, Richard Casper, I will always thank you and promote Creative Vets. Please check him out and support it. So, for multiple reasons, that's why I get to meet people like you and Bryant and all these other great singer-songwriters. So, that being said, let's talk about you now.
Let's talk about me.
I mean... I can't say. I mean, we've hung out a couple of times.
Right.
Socially.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we click,
Absolutely.
From, hey, I really like you and I think we could be friends and totally like have a beer together.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Other than that, I don't know a whole lot about your past. So I'm going to need.
You're going to find out.
Well, right now, I want to know your story. Actually, I do know one really funny story, but I don't know if you want to share it or not.
Oh,
I may ask about you later. But. Before we get to that,
that's always a terrifying thing to hear from someone.
I do know one. Yes, I do. But so when did you move to Nashville? Where are you from?
Okay, I'm actually from here. I grew up in Fairview, Tennessee, which is about 45 minutes towards Memphis down I-40. My whole family is from there. Both my parents are from there.
Yeah.
And I lived there until I was about 17 years old. So right before my junior year of high school, we moved up here to Creve Hall. We were going to church at Brentwood Hills Church of Christ, and I was going to school at Lipscomb High School, so it just made sense to make the move. And went to college at Lipscomb University and graduated about a year and a half ago. I did get a degree, surprisingly.
Youngin'.
Yeah. And I moved back to Fairview a couple times to, like I was telling you guys earlier, in my grandmother's old house, and the time before that at my great-granddad's old house, just to fix them up before we sold them. But now I'm back here with my parents and my little brother and in Creve Hall and living it up, man.
Yeah.
Writing songs and playing music.
Do you get called a unicorn for being from here and still here and all that?
Like nobody.
It's crazy. It really is crazy because 97% of people are not from here.
Right.
But there's a handful that are. And
do you feel like that handful are you? It's like, all right, music is kind of ingrained in you because you grew up here? Or
honestly,
when did music become like this huge part of your life?
Okay, so and I've listened to your podcast a lot, and I've heard a common theme is you grew up in singing in church and stuff like that. And that's kind of what it was for me. Like, I went to a Church of Christ my whole life, though, so there was no
instruments.
Yeah, so it was all...
You were straight a cappella, which...
Right.
Hey, that's talent. I'm going to be honest.
You're a talent, man.
Well, I grew up, you know, leading singing and singing in church and all that good stuff, but I didn't start playing guitar till I was about 18 and a half, 19, and that was kind of about the same time I started writing. I think I wrote like a poem before that for a girl and all that good stuff, you know.
Everybody has that story. Do you remember the poem?
I don't remember the poem, but I could probably pull out some lines. But like, that's okay. So you're talking about creative vets, right? I was writing with Richard and a guy named Johnny Bulford, and he and I were having a discussion during the co-write that most guys, now they might write songs for other reasons too, but 99% of the time it always goes back to trying to impress a girl.
Exactly.
So. I can't say that.
Which I'm going to take it one step further. I'm going to say that 99% of anything that a guy does is probably for another girl.
That's
only because I don't write poem or songs. So, you know.
How did the poem turn out?
Dude, honestly,
did it work?
Okay, so this is kind of embarrassing. But I wrote the poem, and I had a thing for this girl at the time. And I got my mom to type it up and print it out and put it in a frame. And I don't know if she still has it in her room now, but she did forever. So it was must have been a decent poem.
Yeah, so. I mean, you would hope that, you know, there's some things that you do that, like, nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. And then after you did it, you're like, man, I really wish somebody had probably kind of proofread that.
Well, he did. He followed iambic pentameter.
I don't even know what you said. But the thing is like, if your mom read it, she probably at least said, okay, you are not going to hate yourself too much.
Right.
So it had to be at least pretty good.
Well, the girl's mom loved it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. I was
romantic.
I was in there for sure.
Well, you know, this might be a theory. I don't know. But I am I'm convinced that if the girl's parents like you, you might as well just quit and give up.
Fun fact about me.
Okay.
I got most likely to take home to mom and dad my senior year.
When really?
I graduated.
Oh. So.
Hey, that is If You Really Knew Me right there.
That is.
Okay, yeah. You're right. Dang it.
Now you
got to
cut. Now you got to come up with something.
I should have waited.
That's awesome. All right. So, well, music has been a part of your life. I had an idea while you were saying COC. Kevin, maybe we can have the first song sing live a cappella today.
Oh my God.
What do you think about that?
That would be a major curveball.
It may be.
That would be a major, major curveball.
It's an option.
Listen,
it's an option.
I would probably be blushing the whole time. Unfortunately, nobody can see me.
That's right. And I mean, there's no rules. We can mix it up, but you would be the first and the only. So it's just something to think about.
Something to think about.
That's all it is.
Little teaser.
Yeah. Well, you know, living in Nashville your whole life, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what is your perspective then when it comes to pursuing music? I feel like it's something that you didn't have to move and kind of get this deer in the headlights shock, right? You knew what you were getting into, probably more so, you know, that somebody that moves from, you know, here's what I've also heard is that, you know, I was the best where I was from.
Right.
Right. And they have this kind of, now I come to Nashville and you're not the best. And it's like that, holy cow, you know? Feeling. So you lived here, you knew there was talent.
Because
if you go to a church in Nashville, you know
that
there's musical talent, even if you're not in the music business. So, you know, pursuing that, what was your kind of vision and idea of like, all right, this is going to be like a career or business for me?
So I didn't really go. I think one of the only concerts I ever went to growing up was a Ricky Skaggs concert when I was like 8 with my dad and my uncle. But like the first concert I ever really like remember going to, I was about 19. It was when I was in college. And there was a band called the Dirt Drifters, that I went to see, and then Josh Thompson played right after them. And I remember watching that, just being like, it was at Exit Inn. I was like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. And so after that, I started going to a lot of shows, and the Whiskey Jam had just kind of like started around that time, maybe a year or so before. I may or may not have had a fake ID. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not, but
I didn't hear it. Did you hear it, Kevin?
You're absolutely allowed to say that stuff. He wants to keep it PG-13. I push boundaries.
That's about PG-13, okay. I feel like, yeah, right?
I mean, if the cops show up at your house next week, so whatever.
I started going to the Whiskey Jam, and I remember, because, like I said, I didn't start really playing guitar and writing until I was, like, okay, I said that. Like I said, I had one song before that, but I didn't really put any thought to it until I was about 19. And I remember standing in the crowd at the Whiskey Jam, which back then it was nowhere near as big of a deal as it is now. I mean, now anytime you go, it's packed out.
Yeah.
It's packed out. But I remember there was plenty of room. I was standing there kind of backed up against the wall, and I was watching these guys play, and I was like, dude, they are serious. Like, I was like, I'm a scrub. Yeah. I'm a straight-up scrub. I need to go home and practice right now.
Yeah.
The thing is, that hadn't changed, man.
Right.
Over the past 4 or 5 years, every time I go see a show, I think the same thing. I'm like, dude, I need to go home and practice, because it is the real deal down here. That everybody comes. It's like the Mecca, and there's just so much talent
right
everywhere you go.
Right. Which I think is probably – at first, it's that uncertainty, that freak out moment, that fear. And then I think if it's music is really in your blood and it's for you, I almost think that's what drives you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's what people do that have that kind of innate, not just talent, but drive to want to, you know, be something. They don't look at as everybody that's up there on the stage is so good as like, oh, I can't. They look at it and go, I got to get better.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
And that's, I love Nashville. It's a bittersweet with me. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why I started this, because I hear so much of that I feel like 99% of the world never gets to hear.
Right.
And so I'm like, gosh, I got to open my door to my world to go look on a Tuesday night. Look what I get to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this song that I think is a total hit that for a million reasons may or may not get cut,
right.
But it doesn't mean it's not a phenomenal song sang by a phenomenal talent.
Without a doubt.
You know, and that's what we get to hear every single day. So that's awesome. And I love to hear that. So I have obviously three questions that I ask everybody on the show.
Right.
I don't know if you've prepared for them. But
a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. But there is no right or wrong answer, Jesse. So you're good. I hope you're thinking of a song in your head that maybe you can either sing a cappella.
Man.
I'm just kidding. I know.
He can do one acapella,
maybe like
with the guitar. I mean, just we could half just and see. Half.
Okay, I have a quick story about an acapella song. Can I interject?
Yes.
Okay. So I went to David Lipscomb High School, right?
Yeah.
And I was two quick stories actually. So I was a freshman, and we had the freshman football team, and then the varsity football team, and the JV, I guess, too. But the freshmen stayed in a separate locker room. But then after their season was over with, they would be moved up to the varsity team, and then you'd get your spot in the varsity locker room and all that good stuff. Keith Smith was playing. He was on the freshman team with me at the time, and then I don't know if you know Mitchell Tenpenny or not, but he was a senior at the time. And when we moved up, they had a thing called Dance Day. And that just so happened to be the day that they moved us up to the varsity team. So what we would do during Dance Day is just basically embarrass the heck out of the freshmen.
Sure.
Like just do just the random stupid
stuff. It's a law.
Stuff.
I think you have to, yeah.
And so they brought us in one at a time, and we're all freaking out. Okay, so they brought a couple people in before me, but then they bring me in. And Mitchell looks at me, and he was like, Jesse, what do you want to do? And I was like, man, I don't know. And he was like, I want you to sing a song. And I'm like, all right, man, cool. So he's like, sing Chattahoochee by Alan Jackson. I was like, all right, deal. That was my favorite song growing up. Like, I cried all the way to see my sister at the hospital when she was born because my aunt wouldn't play the song. So I start singing this song, and everybody gets real quiet. And I finish, like, the chorus or whatever, and I stop, and I'm, like, shaking. I'm sweating and everything. And one of the guys goes, man. He sounds like he's on the radio.
Oh,
so nice.
I was like, hey, okay, cool, killer. So like a couple weeks later, somebody asked me to lead singing in chapel. And there was this song, I can't remember which one it was, but it was one that we always sang in our youth group at church. And I just assumed that everybody was going to know this song. I get up in front of the whole school in chapel, and I start leading this song. Me and my Spanish teacher were the only ones singing. Like, nobody knew this song. And the five people from my youth group that knew it didn't sing it because nobody else was singing. Oh, so the first time I ever led singing in chapel, it was a straight-up solo.
Solo, yeah.
Yes, and my poor Spanish teacher, she is singing her little heart out, just trying to make me, you know, feel better. So after I get done, a bunch of people started standing up and clapping because I was the only one singing. And then there was a sweet girl named Hope Prophet. I think she just felt bad for me as I was walking back. She stood up and gave me a hug. That made me feel kind of like a pimp, though. So.
I mean, I would have just been like, oh, it was a solo.
Yeah.
Nobody else is good enough to be with me on this. So.
Hey, you know, those are funny stories. But this is actually, I think, a good lesson for those that are just starting. I believe in business or in any type of public speaking that there's really not a situation that I could walk in right now where I will be caught off guard. But it's not because I think I've mastered public speaking. It's because I've been in so many awkward situations.
For sure.
That, you know what I mean? And that's part of experience. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of guests on here. They talk about Carly Pierce was one of them. And, you know, her whole story of being a backup singer and then actually doing the mic checks for the headliner, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of that put her in this mindset. So when she is the headliner, it's not like it's her first time, right?
Right?
And it's funny because you say even that story right there would allow you to say play at Martin's last night. Mm-hmm. And let's say there's, you know, maybe not a huge crowd or, you know, just those awkward situations, but it's really not your first time. You just,
right.
You kind of own it, right? Because
there.
You're like, I've been here.
Right.
And I think that's something we all need to hear when it comes to pursuing any goal or dream is you don't start out in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are in the big leagues can handle any situation. Because they've been in those situations where it's like, you won't believe this one time.
Yeah,
you know absolutely. What I mean? But that's how they own every situation is because they've been there, they've done that. And that on top of their talent is what makes them, right? So I've always said, and maybe this is if anything, a piece of advice to overcome that doubt and fear is like, man, go out there and have as many awkward situations as you can because it's not about failing that moment. That moment will help you in 5-10 years from
right.
now. You know,
it's learning how to be comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Oh, that's good. That's great advice. Learning how to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. I'm going to use that one.
Do it, man.
I'm going to put that on the refrigerator.
Do it, man.
That's awesome. All right, man. Well, so you like coffee, right?
I do like coffee. I drank 2 cups this morning.
I saw your legs over there shaking, so I figured you were.
I always do that.
You're like
I bounce my
caffeined
knee.
Up. No, I'm the same way. But if you could have coffee with yourself now, Jesse, knowing what you know now, at the ripe old age of, how old are you?
24.
24.
I'll be 25 in August.
Goodness, almost quarter of a century. So knowing what you know now, if you could go back and have coffee with yourself, like when you, what was it? What'd you say, 19? When you said, hey.
About 19, yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell yourself?
So I believe honestly that I would tell myself that I would probably say, just be true to yourself. When it comes to music and songwriting, because the best songs that I've written and the ones that mean the most to me are the ones that I either wrote for myself or wrote to someone else. And being in this town, it's you can't get around having the mindset every once in a while of, oh, I want to write that because people would like it or it would sound cool or,
yeah.
or whatever, because you want to be successful. Too, you know, so you hear these things and you're like, all right, that worked for them. I want to do something like that. But I would like to tell my younger self, don't worry as much about that because people don't want the same brand over and over again either.
Yeah.
You know, people want some authenticity. And that's one thing that I'm learning every day. And that's one thing I try to be true to. But that's what I would tell myself. Just be true to yourself, especially when it comes to the lyrics, and it'll all work out.
Yeah. And I mean, that's probably what an ongoing journey of mm-hmm. learning because you're different in different seasons of life.
Right.
Right. So your skill set is obviously getting better, but that's awesome. A lot of artists and guests say that is be true to yourself. And it sounds simple, but it's obviously not if all of you are saying it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. All of you are still trying to do it. And so all of us are, one of the biggest messages I feel that I take away and try to deliver, because I take away, right, is that we live in this world of being kind of this anxiety of never being enough because we're looking at everybody else.
Absolutely.
Right? And then everybody comes on here and goes, just be yourself. So what I'm hoping I hear, I know what I hear, what I hope everybody else hears is that, you know what, you're actually enough just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you believe that, you can actually reach your potential.
Exactly.
Just be you and then be the best you can be. But first of all, you got to believe that you're enough.
Yeah. Because we were talking earlier. Okay. So like, there's always going to be somebody that's better.
Absolutely. There's better always, at something anyway.
Exactly.
And really, what's better? Better is kind of subjective in itself anyway.
Better at certain things.
Yeah, I suppose, sure.
Would have been a better way to say that. But that's the deal. There's always going to be somebody that's better, but you just got to figure out how you want to tell your story, because people are going to be attracted to you if you are true to yourself and you're honest with them.
Yeah. And if anything else, they're going to be attracted that you're okay with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
What it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait, they're okay with me. Yeah. And that's the attractive part.
Right.
That's awesome. What about the best piece of advice someone else has ever given you? Like, it doesn't have to be about music, but you've just kind of held on to.
Well, I mean, I could give you several different pieces of advice with or without music, but I'll go with music, I suppose, because I think this is a good piece of advice in any sort of area in your life besides just music. But so I was a sophomore, I think, in college, and it was exam week, and I was in the library, and I stopped doing my studying because it was driving me up the wall. I was losing my mind. So I started watching YouTube videos of a writer's round that Eric Church hosted, and who was my favorite at the time. And he had probably six or seven writers up on stage with him. And what he did was he had those writers sing his hits that he recorded that he wrote them with, instead of him singing them. And so I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, there's no way that I'll ever be able to get in touch with Eric Church. I was like, but there's a chance that some of these cats might be on Facebook and I can connect with them that way. And so I asked a few of the different writers on the stage to be my friend on Facebook, one of which was Jeremy Spillman. And Jeremy accepted my friend request, and I sent him a message. Like, I think he accepted it like 20 minutes later. So I sent him this message, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm a sophomore at Lipscomb. I'm supposed to be studying right now, but I'm watching videos of you sing songs on the internet. And I said, and he wrote Sinners Like Me with Eric Church, which still is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah.
Probably one of the main reasons why I started writing. But I sent him this message, and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I know a couple songwriters, but it would really mean a lot to me if you could just meet me for coffee sometime or something. Such a nice guy. Surprisingly, he responded and said, yeah, man, I'll be happy to meet you for coffee. So he says, gosh, I think, is there a place called Bongo Java?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, there's two of them, though, in Nashville.
Yes.
Okay?
But the original's on Belmont.
Yeah. Dude, so I went to the original. He said, meet me at Bongo Java at like 10 o'clock. I'm like, all right, deal. So I go to this one, and I'm like trying to find a place to park because I'm like, I don't want to get towed. That would be terrible. Finally find a place to park. I walk in. I'm like 5 minutes early. So I sit there till like 10 after. I never see him come in. I'm like, what the heck? All I had was his Facebook. So I sent him a message on Facebook. I'm like, man, I don't know if you're here or not, or if like I've just overlooked you. And he's like, no, I'm definitely here. And so I looked up on my phone. I was like, maybe there's two of them. And sure enough, there was two, and I went to the wrong one. So I said, man, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm about to head your way. I went to the wrong Bongo Java. So I sped over across town. I think the other one's like in East Nashville, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I speed all the way over there. Find me a parking spot. I go in. Man is paying for his coffee. He's been sitting there for 45 minutes on me, right?
Yeah.
So I feel so bad. And he was still kind enough to sit there for like 10 or 15 minutes and talk with me. He was like, yeah, I've got to go to Jay Joyce's studio, so I can't stay very long. And I was like, dude, I ain't going to keep you from that. Move along.
Right.
But I said, we were walking outside, standing beside a truck. And I said, man, if there's one piece of advice that you could give me, what would it be? And he said, find your friends that you love making music with and that you love working with. And he said, and keep working with.
Yeah.
Stay with those friends, the people that you like to be around and that you enjoy spending time with. He said, because you guys are all going to come up together. You're all going to be successful together. He said, your friends that you're working with now are going to be your Luke Bryans and your Eric Churches later on in life.
So true.
And he was like, so keep your relationship strong.
Yeah.
And just keep working hard. And so that's what I started doing. And one of my closest friends, Matt Bell, him and Jeremy are from the same town. And we met through a buddy in college. And I remember us having the conversation about Jeremy Spillman for the first time. He was like, yeah, there's this guy named Jeremy Spillman that's from my hometown. I said, you're kidding me, man. I've had coffee with him. And Jeremy told him the same piece of advice.
Yeah.
And so that kind of like just made us even better friends. We had that special bond because Jeremy gave us both that piece of advice.
That is huge. A lot of people have mentioned that, even some of your own friends that have been on the show that say that. And it's so true. I would add a layer to that to go make sure you surround yourself around the right friends and then grow up with them, right? Because at the end of the day, it's so true. I've been here 15 years. It's been crazy to walk with a lot of friends, close friends, and some I would just say friends and acquaintances that are only like one degree of influence. But to see their journey 15 years later has been unbelievable. So that's great, and highly recommend that. I actually, what is it, Kevin? I think the quote I heard that I've always said, and this is, might just be in business, but if you take the five people that you hang around the most, average their salary, that's probably what you're making too. And I was like, I got to get new friends. But
it's hilarious.
But you know, that was kind of in a business sense, but like, you know what I mean? You end up becoming like the people you are hanging around, the books you read, and really everything that you consume. So great piece of advice. That's awesome. All right. So finish this statement. This is everybody's favorite.
Oh, this one's going to be hard.
Nah.
You can't do what you already did, too. That
was a fun fact,
though. That was in the back pocket that you just were like,
I messed up.
No.
I messed up big time.
It's a fun fact. But Donald, if you really knew me, like if you really knew me, you would know.
If you really knew me, you would know that I am, this may be kind of lame, but it's the truth, man. I'm very close with my family. I love my family.
Yeah.
I've got a very big family, and like I said, we're all from Fairview, and most of the family still lives there. And you'll probably, depending on which song I decide to play, in a lot of my songs, you'll be able to tell, like, a lot of it goes back to family-oriented stuff. And I just think that's really important in the world that we live in today.
You know, it was an every-year thing for me, guys. I don't know if this is a Southern thing or not, so I don't know where you're listening. But do you guys have annual family reunions?
Actually, yes. It is a big deal to my grandma.
Yes.
It's a very big deal to my grandma.
Well, gosh, we haven't had one in years. Mm-hmm. Our families, you know, over the years. But I remember growing up, it was like Christmas, Thanksgiving, everything else. Like, we have a family reunion.
For sure.
And I'm wondering, like, if people or families out there still do that.
Yeah, my mother's side of the family, she had four brothers and sisters, and now they all have kids, and some of those kids have kids. So my mom's side of the family is huge.
Yes.
And we have birthday Sunday at my grandmother's every single Sunday. I didn't get to go this past Sunday. It was our birthday Sunday. But we get together for birthday Sunday once a month. Mm. And we celebrate whoever's birthdays are in the month.
Wait, it was big families. My papa, my mom's dad, was the youngest of 13 kids. So imagine what that family reunion was like. And then now my dad, they have one every year. Unfortunately, I don't always get to make it. But anyway, I thought I'd just bring up family reunions. Forgot about that. Hey, so my favorite part of the show.
Yeah,
is where I get to hear about a song that you wrote and then get to hear you sing it. So what is it going to be, Jesse?
Yeah, man. So this tune is called Seeds. And as a songwriter, there's songs that you write specifically for yourself as a reminder. And that's what this tune is for me. I was sitting at home thinking about something I shouldn't have done. And I was like, just the line, be careful what seed you sow, because you're going to have to be the one to watch them grow.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm going to write a stinking song about that, because songs never go away. You know, some of them might collect dust, but they never go away. So I'm always going to have this as a reminder to just be a smarter and better person.
I love it.
And I do. I love this song. It it's not anything special. It's, you know, because there's a lot of songs you want to play out in front of people to get people's attention, and this may not be one of those, but it's one of those that just really means a lot to me. So
awesome. Let's hear it.
Yeah, man. You can hurt someone with your words or speak kindness on their soul. You can beat what gets you down, or you can let it take a toll. You can cuss the sun for rising, spend every day despising, or you can find yourself some positivity. You can make the world a better place with a lot more give and a little less take, or you can reject love and generosity. But consider this with everything that you do: be mindful of what seed you sow, 'cause you're gonna be the one that's gotta watch them grow. Instead of feeding from the harvest, you might end up eating crow. So be mindful of, be mindful of, be mindful of what seed you sow. You can mend a broken bridge, or you can light a match and watch it burn. You can make the same mistake all over again, or you can take your lesson and learn. You can hate God for what he took, call him every name in the book, or you can trust that he's got a bigger, better plan. You can give up on life, sit around waiting to die, or you can let the good Lord mold you in his hand. But consider this with everything that you do: be mindful of what seed you sow, 'cause you're gonna be the one that's gotta watch them grow. Instead of feeding from the harvest, you might end up eating crow. So be mindful of, be mindful of, be mindful of what seed you sow. Be mindful of what seed you sow, 'cause you're gonna be the one that's gotta watch them grow. Instead of feeding from the harvest, you might end up eating crow. So be mindful of, be mindful of, be mindful of what seed you sow. So be mindful of, be mindful of, be mindful of what seed you sow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
I love that. Hey, I mean, I got chills either way, but you did the best of both worlds. Phenomenal song with a guitar, and then ended it church style a cappella.
Just for you, man.
Man, I love it. Thank you so much. Hey, great song, and hey, great lyrics and great words of wisdom in that one.
Thanks, man.
That was awesome.
That one was a gift.
You don't play it out?
I do play it out. It's just, you know, some of the songs are more sing-along-y,
yeah,
you know, and but I do play it out. I've got several friends that my mother really, really likes that song.
Yeah, of right. Of course.
But... it, you know, that you've got songs that people can sing along to a little easier than that, I suppose. But, oh, yeah, I'd definitely play it out for sure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Appreciate you playing that one.
Yeah, man.
I think you should play it more.
Thank you guys for having me out here today, too. This
don't worry.
I
got
one
more
cool
one more question for you. Actually, it's not for me, but hold on one second, all right? Got my boy Brian Allen in the audience, and he said he had a question for you, Jesse. You all right with that?
I'm a little nervous. Yeah, I'm all right.
What do you got, Brian?
It is safe to say that. Yes, absolutely, Brian.
I would ask you if I taught you everything I know, but that wouldn't have taken very long.
That's awesome.
So, actually, and I kind of explained this during my episode, I had Donald send me the questions that he was going to ask me before.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, we spent time together.
Right.
I don't remember things so well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, we did the episode about chasing memories,
mm-hmm.
which I wrote with you and Richard Casper.
Right on.
And I have written down that when we went into the studio to record the song, you were supposed to sing it.
That's right.
And then when we got in there to actually record it, and Nick asked who was recording it, you looked at me and you told me that we should have talked about this earlier, but this is your song, your life, you're the one singing it.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. awesome. And it came out, might I say, phenomenally, but
yeah,
great song that
good.
You, Richard, and Bryant
Absolutely.
Wrote about his story and his life, mm-hmm. but the vocals came out amazing too.
I agree, man. It and the whole recording as a whole, it sounds so good. So I'm pumped about that too, which it's going to be released on iTunes pretty soon and stuff like
yes,
that. Right?
Coming out
Friday.
Yeah.
So check that out. Chasing Memories.
Hey, not only that, guys, check all of our guests. You don't want to miss one of these episodes. You really don't. And you don't want to not support these guys. So, hey, I actually hear that any part of proceeds that are going to go back to Creative Vets and supporting Creative Vets for Chasing Memories. So that's awesome. And the writers are Jesse, you yourself, and Brian and Richard Casper. So check them out. Also follow you. Tell us your social medias.
All right. So I'm Jesse Taylor and Jesse Wayne Taylor on Facebook, whether you find my personal page or artist page. And then Jesse Wayne T on Twitter
yeah.
and Instagram. And I believe Snapchat too, if you're into that. I don't do a ton of Snapchatting. but I am on there.
Kevin Super Sick McCarty is really good at Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for coming in. You got to come back and do it again.
Heck yes. Absolutely. I would love to.
Awesome. Thanks, dude.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.